For a Tuesday night at the Crescent City Ballet, the theater was unusually packed. The sight of the swarming masses in the lobby, drinking and chatting and mingling, filled Bryce Quinlan with a quiet sort of joy and pride. There was only one reason why the theater was so packed tonight. With her fey hearing, she could have sworn she heard the hundreds of voices all around her whispering, "Juniper Andromeda, the star of tonight's performance." Yet even with the crowd, an air of quiet reverence and serenity filled the space, as if it were a temple. Bryce had the creeping sensation that the various ancient statues of the gods flanking the long lobby watched her. Or maybe that was the well-dressed older shifter couple standing by a reclining statue of Chthona, the earth goddess, naked and awaiting the embrace of her lover, Solas. The shifters, some sort of big cats from their sense, and rich ones, judging by their watches and jewelry, blatantly ogled her. Bryce offered them a bland, close-lipped smile. Some variation of this had happened nearly every single day since the attack this past spring. The first few times had been overwhelming, unnerving. People coming up to her and sobbing with gratitude. Now they just stared. Bryce didn't blame the people who wanted to speak to her, who needed to speak to her. The city had been healed by her, but its people. Scores had been dead by the time her first light erupted through Lunathian. Hunt had been lucky, had been taking his last breaths when the first light saved him. 5,000 other people had not been so lucky. Their families had not been so lucky. So many dark boats had drifted across the Istros to the mists of the Bone Quarter that they had looked like a bevy of black swans. Hunt had carried her into the skies to see it. The quays along the river had teemed with people, their mourning cries rising to the low clouds where she and Hunt had glided. Hunt had only held her tighter and flown them home. "Take a picture," Ember Quinlan called now to the shifters, from where she stood next to a marble torso of Ogenis rising from the waves, the ocean goddess's full breasts peaked and arms upraised. "Only 10 gold marks, 15 if you want to be in it." "For fuck's sake, Mom," Bryce muttered. Ember stood with her hands on her hips, gorgeous in a silky gray gown and pashmina. "Please don't." Ember opened her mouth, as if she'd say something else to the chastised shifters now hurrying toward the east staircase. But her husband interrupted her.
"I second Bryce's request," Randall said, dashing in his navy suit.
Ember turned outraged dark eyes on Bryce's stepfather, her only father as far as Bryce was concerned, but Randall pointed casually to a broad frieze behind them.
"That one reminds me of Athalar."
Bryce arched a brow, grateful for the change of subject, and twisted toward where he'd pointed. On it, a powerful fey male stood poised above an anvil, hammer raised skyward in one fist, lightning cracking from the skies filling the hammer, and flowing down toward the object of the hammer's intended blow, a sword. Its label read simply, "Unknown Sculptor, Palmyra, circa 125 VE. Bryce lifted her mobile and snapped a photo, pulling up her messaging thread with, "Hunt Athalar is better at sunball than I am." She couldn't deny that. They'd gone to the local sunball field one sunny afternoon last week to play, and Hunt had promptly wiped the floor with her. He'd changed his name in her phone on the way home.